Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. I'm so glad you're joining me today because, as always, I have a wonderful in-depth conversation waiting for you. Before I introduce you to my very special guest, I want to welcome people who may be listening for the very first time. And if you are, please go over to my website, Dr. Cheryl Selman, and I'll just spell that because it's not your normal Cheryl. It's S-H-E-R-R-I-L-L, Selman, S-E-L-L-M-A-N. Or you can go over to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know. And if you either sign up or like me at Facebook, I send out all of the archive shows that I do. And I actually have two shows a week on Progressive Radio Network. In addition to What Women Must Know, every Saturday at 11 a.m., I have The Love Code, which is focused on more spiritual topics and interviews, inspirational healing experiences. It's a great show as well. So if you opt in, you will get both of my shows, and I hope you do because I have some really special guests and profound information that I share through these programs. And if you like me over at Facebook, I post on a regular basis, so it allows me to increase the amount of valuable information and insights into many things that really make a difference for your health. Okay, well, having said all that, let's jump into a wonderful conversation because I have as my guest, a very special guest, Dr. Roshna Patel, an internationally recognized expert in the field of medical cannabis. She teaches patients how to use CBD, also known as hemp extract, to relieve their symptoms, transform their health, and live a better quality of life. Dr. Patel completed her undergraduate studies at Northwestern University and earned her medical degree from Touro University. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Roshna Patel to the show. Hello, Dr. Patel.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, first of all, thank you and congratulations on your book, which is called The CBD Oil Solution: Treat Chronic Pain, Anxiety, Insomnia, and More Without the High. It's a very timely book. CBD oils, also known as hemp extract, are really everywhere these days. And in fact, I have to clear my inbox about 10 times every day of all these ads coming in with all the CBD products that are out there in the marketplace. So I'm so glad you're here because you'll be helping to really educate people about what CBD is and why it's such a profound healing plant medicine, as I like to call it. So welcome again, and I'm so pleased to have you here. So Dr. Patel, how did you get interested in the subject of CBD oils and the use of this type of natural medicine?
Sure. So my background is actually in emergency medicine. And, you know, typically a lot of what you see in the emergency room is pain. And most commonly what happens is that, you know, once you've ruled out any emergent causes of pain, the patient is sent home with a prescription for typically opioids and with instructions to follow up with their primary care doctor. Now, oftentimes what ended up happening is that a lot of these patients would come back into the emergency room complaining that the medication didn't work, or they were experiencing side effects, or that I was in the unfortunate position of having to resuscitate patients that overdosed on these medications, right? So went into medicine hoping, thinking that I would actually help to solve people's problems. And what I found myself in the middle of was, you know, creating problems because the very medications that I was prescribing were actually doing more harm than good. And it wasn't really solving a problem. So when I came across an ad on Craigslist that said medical marijuana doctor needed, I started to delve into the research behind medical marijuana and all the different cannabinoids like CBD and THC. And by the end of the year, I was very compelled by the research and realized that, you know what, and thought that there's a lot more potential for medical cannabis to treat chronic pain than there is for what conventional medicine had to offer. So, you know, any good physician, you not only have the book knowledge, but you have the people knowledge too. You really want to see practically how this medication is really affecting people, you know, what sort of results they're experiencing, and gain experience in helping to treat patients with this particular medication. So that's when I started working at a medical marijuana clinic back in 2012. And so I've been doing this now for 7+ years.
So your fate took its turn with you, and you found really, I'm sure, work that is so much more rewarding than what you were doing by just either putting people on pain meds or resuscitating them from overdoses.
Yes, agreed. I wake up in the morning, and I'm motivated by the fact that I'm actually making an impact on people's lives.
Yeah, that has to really uplift you in your spirit to know that you're really, really making a difference, as any health practitioner really wants to do. So Dr. Patel, was there a training that you actually went through to learn all about CBDs and medical marijuana?
So there's no formal training in the field, okay? So basically, I took what I learned in medical school when it comes to pharmacology, when it comes to the different medical conditions and the physiology of the different medical conditions, and then, you know, based on what I saw in the research and the results that the patients were reporting, put it all together, put all that knowledge together, and was then able to formulate essentially protocols by medical condition on helping people to use the CBD oil or the medical cannabis for their particular medical conditions.
Yeah, I guess that will happen in the future, but it's a bit frustrating, isn't it, for people, because so many of the clinics that people may wander into, the people working there don't necessarily, they may have some level of experience, but they don't really have the knowledge that would support people in understanding what to take, what kind, the dosing. I mean, I think they think they do, but I don't know. I've never been into a clinic with medical marijuana, but you know, it's you're kind of taking it's a bit of a pick and a poke, aren't you, with who you talk to and how to use and what kind to use.
Yeah, there's nuances to it, right? And it can be made very objective because we have access to laboratory testing now, and that laboratory testing, with that laboratory testing, you know the exact amounts of CBD and THC that are in the product that you're purchasing, down to the milligram. So you can get it down to the milligram in terms of how much you need, how and how often you need it. So you know, that sort of access to information helps to make it an even more powerful medication.
You know, I recently had a patient who has had a long history of epilepsy, and she's been going to her neurologist, who has her on highest dose of some of these meds, which hasn't stopped her epileptic seizures at all. So she was, and he wanted to put her on a pharmaceutical cannabis product, I think a CBD product, thousands of dollars.
Yes.
It would cost her thousands of dollars. And it, you know, and then he warned her if she took it, you know, if she didn't work, she'd have to do something more drastic, and gave her all these warnings. It's kind of scary when this knowledge is not readily available, especially to people who have some chronic health issues on both sides, knowing what they need to do, and also what the practitioner, like a neurologist who really doesn't have much experience with this, is recommending.
Yeah, so the medication that you're referring to is Epidiolex. It recently came on the market back in 2018. And basically, essentially, what it is that it's a CBD product derived from cannabis. And it's been approved for the use of seizures, so specific types of pediatric epileptic disorders, okay? And what they found when they did research on this medication was that when used in conjunction with certain types of prescription medications, specifically medications that cause what's known as a hepatocellular injury. In other words, it could potentially cause injury to the liver. that when taken in conjunction with CBD, it tended to exacerbate the injury to the liver. It basically elevated liver enzyme levels. So that is something to watch out for.
Wow. So this is, first of all, is this an extract, or have they somehow just pulled out one aspect of the plant to make what is it called again?
Epidiolex. Yeah.
It's
an extract. It's an extract, much like, you know, what you'd find at a medical marijuana dispensary. So it's not, you know, any sort of, it's not formulated in any sort of special way. What's different is that it's formulated under standardized conditions, more so than you would find at a medical marijuana dispensary. And that's really the main difference.
And that is why it costs thousands of dollars to buy it.
Yeah, essentially.
I say facetiously. It's like, wow, talk about jacking up the prices, right?
Right.
Like, it's criminal. But yeah, anyway, so that's interesting.
What I was going to say really quickly is that you can find similar products at dispensaries that eventually give the same effect, but then consistency becomes an issue. So that's what they're charging for, is consistency of the product, essentially. Yeah, so what you're saying exactly.
Yeah, well, there are products, I'm sure, and I know that are out there that are consistent, high quality. But I just that was interesting because that just came up recently, and you know, obviously the meds are not working, but her doctor did say this might be helpful. But that's interesting that it raises liver enzymes along with her meds, so she needs to be careful. That needs to be monitored, I would imagine. So let's talk about CBDs. Let's start from the beginning. Please explain what we mean by CBDs, what it stands for, and how it actually works in the body, because there is so much interest about CBDs, but I think most people don't really know the whole story. So let's start from the beginning, and we'll give the whole story.
Okay, sure. So CBD is otherwise known as cannabidiol, okay? And it's made by a family of plants, the cannabis family of plants. And the cannabis family of plants has really two cousins in the family. You've got hemp and you have marijuana. Main difference, they both make CBD and THC. Main difference is in the amount of THC that they make, okay? So hemp has less than 0.3% THC. Whereas marijuana, by default, then has more than 0.3% THC. In terms of what you're going to find on the market, most CBD products are hemp-derived. And the way that they're made is that a solvent is used to extract the CBD, and there's unsafe solvents and there's safe solvents, okay? The unsafe solvents include things like hexane, propane, butane, things you definitely don't want, you want to expose your body to. And the safer solvents include things like CO2 and ethanol, otherwise known as alcohol. This extract is then mixed in with a carrier oil, typically olive oil or coconut oil, and hence you have CBD oil.
So where did that 0.3% come from? Did you ever find that out?
Yeah, completely arbitrary. It was determined by this guy named Ernest Small. He just came up with a number pretty much out of thin air. And it stuck around. It stuck around to the point where it's become an international standard.
You know, I had suspicions that it was just an arbitrary number, but I actually never investigated where it came from, because it's like 0.3%. What does that mean? So basically, it's, you know, this is an arbitrary number, but it's now a legal number to define what CBD is, which means that it has minuscule amounts of the psychoactive component THC, which makes it legal, as opposed to a medical marijuana, which is anything over 0.3%, right?
Yeah, and it's completely arbitrarily determined, which is the most ridiculous part. There's no, like, health justification behind it.
Well, you know, as we know, the whole illegal aspect of all aspects of hemp is a very arbitrary decision that was made a long time ago that was not based on any amount of truth or rationale. So at least we're starting to come back to our senses somewhat and make this healing plant available to us. And, you know, Dr. Bill, I think I mentioned before we started the show that last year I wrote a book called The Hemp Health Revolution, and I started investigating the use of hemp extract, also known as CBDs. And before I go any further, maybe we'll address that point. There's confusion with the name CBD and hemp extract and what CBD is, whether it's sometimes it's considered a medical marijuana type of product, and other times it's this 0.3% or less CBD product. Can you help in any way clarifying that?
Yeah, sure. So the CBD oil talks about the end product, right, that's derived from hemp. The extract, what's commonly referred to as an extract in the industry, is basically the CBD in the solvent. That's known as the extract. So that's how you want to think of it. And then the extract plus a carrier oil equals CBD oil.
Right. So CBD oil, sometimes I have seen CBD. When I've done some research on CBD, it comes up as medical marijuana, by the way. So I don't know if you've come across that. So that's where there's a lot of confusion. So what we're talking about today is CBD oil. Also, it's referred to as hemp extract oil. And this is the legal 0.3% or less of the active THC. And we're going to talk about the many, many, many medicinal benefits. And when I was doing my research, I counted up to 50 different conditions or areas of use that would benefit from the use of CBD, which is pretty staggering when we think about it. So let's talk about, first of all, why CBD has such a universal impact on our health.
Sure. So a couple different things that are going on, right? So one is that it's impacting the serotonin pathway. And when things impact the serotonin pathway, they can then in turn impact conditions and symptoms like migraines and headaches and anxiety. The other thing is that CBD is known to have antispasmodic properties, so it relaxes your muscles. And in that case, what it helps is things like something as little as calf pain, to something as much as spasticity associated with multiple sclerosis. It can even help abdominal cramping that's associated with, for instance, Crohn's disease. It's also an anti-inflammatory, okay? And basically, any condition that ends with itis, I-T-I-S, has an inflammatory component to it. So that's another way that CBD helps. So it works through multiple pathways in the body. And so that's why it's, you know, a type of medication where it's like a couple birds with one stone, you know, impact multiple conditions with just one medication.
And we need to say it's beneficial not only to humans for those conditions, but it's also beneficial to our pets who have similar conditions quite often.
You know, I'm not a vet.
Say something about that.
So I'm not a vet, but I have interviewed a vet on my YouTube channel, and from what he said, he found that CBD has been effective for the cats and the dogs that he's treated.
Yeah, actually, I've talked to people. There's one friend who had or has a dog with a brain tumor. She got him off of the pharmaceutical medication, put him on a hemp product, and the dog has been fine ever since. And that's true for animals dealing with anxiety or pain. Just to know it's safe. It's, you know, the plant really works for all creatures, large and small, as far as I can tell. I think if you want to give it to a horse, you would need a whole lot more, but it would probably help them as well.
Go ahead. Within mammals in general, they have, you know, endocannabinoid systems. So, you know, in general, it helps. Actually, even things other than insects, most things other than insects have an endocannabinoid system.
Yeah, I know. I haven't found anyone who's given it to their pet snake yet, but I'll let you know if I do, okay? So we'll find out. So let's talk about the endocannabinoid system. That's a word that probably is unfamiliar to many, many people, but it's an important word that we need to understand if we're going to appreciate the benefit from using CBD oil.
Yeah, so basically the endocannabinoid system is a system of receptors and what are called ligands that create, you know, when they interact, the ligand and the receptor interact, it creates a series of chemical reactions, which ultimately helps your symptoms. The receptors, the most common receptors in the endocannabinoid system are CB1, and CB2, and cannabinoid 1 receptor and cannabinoid 2 receptor, so pretty easy enough. And then in terms of ligands, so the things that fit into these receptors, you can think of it as like a lock and key, right? The lock is the receptor. The key is the ligand. There's different types. So you have the phytocannabinoids, which are the cannabinoids made by the hemp and the marijuana plant. And then you have endocannabinoids, right? These are cannabinoids made by our own bodies, the most common of which are anandamide and 2-AG. And then you also have synthetic cannabinoids. So these are cannabinoids made in a lab. So, for instance, prescription medications such as dronabinol, also known as Marinol, and also Nabilone, which are basically chemicals that look in structure very similar to THC. So that, in a nutshell, is what the endocannabinoid system is.
I find it so fascinating. It was a system that was discovered, a critical system of our body that's such a major regulator of every other system, was just discovered in the 1990s. Here, I'm sure when you went to medical school, they never talked about the endocannabinoid system, did they?
No. I mean, the only context in which marijuana was discussed was as a drug of abuse, and that's pretty much about it.
Yeah, I hope they're revising their curriculum a bit these days, because there's so many people who can really benefit from taking the CBD oil. I know I have. I have it if I've injured myself. I had a bit of a sprain, about a month ago, so I really dosed up on taking my CBD oil. I take it internally. I took it topically. I recovered really quickly. And, just so many people who are benefiting from taking it. And in fact, because it supports this endocannabinoid system, which is the regulator of all the other key systems, I kind of take it just as a, kind of a prophylactic approach. I want to keep that system finely tuned and humming nicely. So I just take it on a regular basis. I don't take as much as if I had an issue, but I just take a little bit most days to keep myself, balanced and functioning optimally. Do you recommend that?
No, I don't, actually. And the reason is because you can develop a tolerance to the CBD, right? So oftentimes what happens with my patients is that, they'll have struggled with pain for so long. And then, they end up using the CBD. Finally, they found something that helps. They get overzealous and they overdo it. And then 2 to 3 weeks later, they'll call me and they'll be like, Dr. Patel, it's not working anymore. It worked fabulously, but now it's not working. And that's because you can develop a tolerance to it. Basically, it gets to the point where you can keep on taking more and more, and it's really not going to do anything for you. So really what I aim for in my patients is optimal dose and optimal frequency, okay? So as an example, I've had patients with, for instance, insomnia, anxiety, that only need to take the CBD oil maybe once a week, and that's effective then for the remainder of the week. Also, from a scientific standpoint, the CBD is fat-soluble. It gets stored in the fat cells in your body. So even on the days that you're not taking it, as you're burning off your fat cells, these chemicals are still getting released. So that's how I approach these protocols that I'm telling you about and how I approach my clinical practice.
Well, that's really interesting. So I should be taking a break from it and only use it occasionally unless I really need it for something specifically.
Yeah. I mean, like with anything, even like vitamin D, vitamin A, D, E, and K, they're fat-soluble vitamins. If you overdo those, you'll start to get side effects from those medications, negative side effects. I'm sorry, not medications, vitamins. So with fat-soluble medications, you do come to a point where it's optimal, and then you get beyond that point, and you're starting to get now what's called supra-optimal, right? You're going to fall into the realm of side effects. So that's what I would say.
Right. You know, and I suppose that could be it's such an individual thing. Some people could be very, very deficient with their cannabinoid system, really require more for a period of time, and others not so. So it's, you know, I think that's where your book is really helpful, understanding how to use it and how to dose it. Before we talk about how to use it and how to dose it, I do want to talk about some of the other conditions that have benefited from it, because there are so many, and I want to be sure we let people know all of the benefits and all the conditions, such as, let's talk about supporting the endocrine system. Have you investigated and looked at how the endocannabinoid system and the use of CBDs helps support all sorts of hormonal imbalances?
You know, I haven't found it to really have an effect on endocrine hormones, right? And I say this from having treated patients who, for instance, have hypothyroidism, right? They'll come in, and they're not coming in for treatment for the hypothyroidism. They're already on levothyroxine, but they're coming in for, like, pain, anxiety, insomnia. But they'll be on the, you know, CBD oil for a year, a period of a year. And then a year later, you know, when I follow up with them, I'm asking them, you know, have there been any changes in your, you know, TSH levels and in your thyroid hormone levels? And there's typically no change, and they continue to stay on those medications. Same with women who are on hormone replacement therapy. There hasn't been any sort of impact on either reducing or eliminating the use of those hormones. So I haven't seen a major impact on hormones. I mean, research, preliminary research does say otherwise. This is research done in rats and in mice. But, you know, when it comes to humans, when it comes to clinical outcomes, I haven't seen that be the case.
I found that it can help women who are dealing with pain, inflammatory causes of pain, such as endometriosis or even period pains. For some women, it can be helpful. It's always an individual thing as to what's going on, but certainly worth trying if people wanted, in my experience, if women wanted to try it for some of those conditions. I certainly don't see it as solving a thyroid problem, for sure.
Right.
What are some of the other things other conditions that you have found really are improved that people may know about, need to know about?
Sure. So specifically for women, you did mention some of those conditions, right? So for premenstrual syndrome, when women are getting pelvic pain from uterus contractions, right? It helps with that because, again, CBD is an antispasmodic. It helps to relax those muscles. When it comes to postmenopausal women, it helps with a lot of the symptoms such as hot flashes, anxiety, insomnia. Definitely helps with that. In general, the most common conditions that it helps with are things like migraines and headaches, nerve pain, muscle pain, and then, like I mentioned before, anxiety and insomnia. And then there's other conditions, you know, for instance, autism helps some of the symptoms of autism as well. A wide variety of other conditions, I would say, but the other five that I mentioned are the most common.
And I want to go back to nerve pain because that's a really big problem for so many people. We can also define it as neuropathies. So whether you're a diabetic or whether you just have poor circulation or consequences from surgery. You know, my brother had some spine surgery, and the result of that created neuropathy in his extremities. So neuropathy is a tough one for people to address. And, you know, CBD is one of those natural substances that offer promise for neuropathy. Have you seen results in your patients who have had neuropathy?
Yeah, I've seen pretty fabulous results, especially the patients who've had mild to moderate neuropathy With severe neuropathy, you do need some amount of THC in there to effectively treat the condition. But when it's mild to moderate, typically patients will say, you know, say if their pain is on a scale of 1 to 10, 7 to 9, typically brings the pain down to 1 to 3, right? If it's a 4 to 6, then closer to 0. And when it comes to medications, you know, typically what happens is that a lot of patients are able to replace their prescription pain medications with the CBD oil and just treat the pain that way. Then there are some patients who are able to reduce either the number or the dosages of their prescription medications and use CBD oil. And then finally, there are patients where they do need to continue to stay on their prescription medications, but the use of CBD oil helps to help provide greater pain relief. So that's what I've seen. And in terms of different types of nerve pains, we're talking about sciatica, we're talking about diabetic neuropathy, we're talking about peripheral neuropathy. So a wide variety of neuropathies that the CBD oil can help with.
Which is great because they're so difficult to manage and the drugs that are prescribed are really toxic and have serious side effects. So to know that they can try a CBD product is great news, I would think, for those people.
Yeah, definitely. It's an option where, you know, you're using a medication with a safer profile when it comes to side effects, and also when it comes to, you know, it's not lethal, and the potential for addiction is little to none.
So that leads us to talk about addictions and in the regards to the use of pain meds. How would you get someone who is on a pain med, Oxycontin or some other Percocet, whatever they're on, how do you advise them to begin transitioning or weaning off or maybe just jumping in and using the CBD? What's your recommendation?
Well, you know, these patients, you don't want to come off these medications cold turkey because you can go through withdrawal, and oftentimes those withdrawal symptoms are really severe. So typically, you know, the doctor who prescribed the medication can help the person wean off of these medications. For some, it's a faster process. For others, it's a slower process. So, you know, it's just going to depend on the individual in terms of how quickly or slowly you're able to wean off.
So you kind of transition people, put them on the CBD, and then slowly reduce their dose of their pain meds?
Yes. There is an overlap.
Right. Okay. So, but you know, how wonderful to know that the use of CBD can help people wean off of their use of medications and their addictions to them and be able to be free and manage their pain, if not support them in achieving greater healing in their bodies as well. I think, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a promise for people. Can we talk about the use of CBDs for autism and maybe ADHD, how it helps people dealing with these conditions?
So with autism, there's actually a list of ways that it helps. And let me just bring up my notes here because I want to get specific in terms of how it helps. And I want to go by what the parents of my patients have reported. And actually, there's been research done on this as well, not within the United States, but outside of the country, in Israel specifically, that showed that they used a cannabis-derived CBD product, and that was effective for patients. In the particular study, what they found was that, let's see here, I'm going to look up the numbers. So behavioral outbreaks were much or very much improved in 61% of kids. Anxiety problems were much or very much improved in 39% of kids. And then communication problems were much or very much improved in 47% of kids. And this was a study done using about 60 patients or so. I have had patients report back things like these kids make more eye contact, They show more animated facial features. They have improved focus and attention. They're more present as being opposed to lost in their own world. There's reduced self-harm, reduced aggression, fewer outbursts, reduced anxiety. They sleep better. So wide variety of results that that parents are seeing. Now, a lot of it depends on the severity with which the child starts, right? So the results will vary depending on the severity with which the child starts, is what I'm going to say.
Now, what do you think that mechanism of action is that is creating improvement in these kids?
You know, I don't know. That one. I think there's still definitely more research that has to be done. You know, in terms of what I've dug into, there isn't really much that said in terms of what sort of mechanism of action may be playing a role.
That's so interesting. But it's great to know it's safe. So anybody who wants to try it with their children, it would be safe to do so.
Yeah, so that medication Epidiolex that I was telling you about, that was deemed safe, which is, I mean, essentially it's CBD, deemed safe in children ages 2 and over.
Right. Is it good for adults?
Yeah, definitely beneficial for adults as well.
Right. Okay. So anything else that you want to say as far as the benefits and the conditions before we kind of change the subject a bit that you have seen results with or you want to be sure to let people know that this is an option for them?
No, I think we covered quite a bit. There is, of course, more that I cover in the book and far more in depth, but no, there's quite a bit that we covered.
Okay, good. I do have something to ask you. I was recently talking to a friend who was overseas getting cancer treatment, and she was working with an American doctor who was an expert, amongst other things, with CBD. Now, he said CBD, which is the hemp extract, the 0.3% or less version of the hemp plant, it was that portion that was much more effective in addressing cancer than the THC part of it, which is the medical marijuana part of it, which is always the belief system that's the THC and the medical marijuana that's more effective in healing cancer. And he was saying actually CBDs are much more powerful in that regard. Have you come across any information about this?
I don't even go so far as making a claim that either CBD products or cannabis products heal or cure cancer. You know, there's certainly research in the way, you know, in mice and in rats and in petri dishes that show anti-cancer properties of CBD and THC. But in humans, the research, there's little to no research in humans. And I myself have treated patients who've had cancer for symptoms of, for instance, chemotherapy or for neuropathy that they may have had. And, you know, over time, you know, we haven't seen any significant changes in their cancer. So I would warn people, you know, be careful about the information that you come across on the internet. There are a lot of claims being made, but you know, doctors don't even claim that you know, when they treat it even with conventional chemotherapy, that, oh, the cancer's been cured. Because you never know. It can always reoccur. So it's said that the cancer is in remission, but it's never said that it's been cured or it's been healed. And, you know, there's a danger in making that claim. And the danger is that you have patients completely foregoing conventional treatment in hopes of this medication, you know, quote unquote, curing their cancer. And what they're doing is that they're putting their life at risk, because when they do have a fighting chance with a conventional treatment and they're foregoing it, they're opting for something where they don't even know, you know, what the possibilities could be. So that's my opinion on that. I think there's just not enough information to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I was, you know, it came up, so I wanted your opinion since I have you here. And I hope to get him on one of the shows and we can kind of explore that further. But the point is that CBD is so popular now, and now this, the confusion is dissipating about whether it's legal or not, and it's and there are products that are formulated in a really responsible way. And let's talk about that a little bit, Dr. Patel, so people can understand how to make a decision on what kind of CBD product. I think most people are really curious and open to using it, but then you have that whole confusing area of which one to choose and which one's going to create the result. Because if you don't find one that's a really effective one, you may give up on CBDs, and that's a mistake.
Yeah. So main thing is that you want to access laboratory test results, or what's otherwise known as certificate of analysis. If the company can't provide that to you, then right off the bat, you don't buy for them from that company. The other thing is that you want to make sure that the laboratory testing is done preferably at a state licensed lab. And in terms of what you're looking for when you look at the laboratory test results, you definitely want to look at the amount of CBD and THC, because 70% of products are mislabeled. In other words, they could have little to no CBD in them. The other thing is that you want to look at pesticide level. Okay, it's an unregulated industry, and anybody could be using anything, even banned pesticides. The other thing is look at testing for fungus and bacteria, especially if you have a compromised immune system. You don't want to expose yourself to bugs that commonly occur on hemp and get sick from that. The other thing is heavy metals. So there have been some undercover investigations that have shown high levels of lead, for instance, in CBD oils. So you want to make sure it's been tested for heavy metals. The last thing is that you want to make sure that it's been also tested for residual solvents. Because remember, I said that some CBD oils can be made with hydrocarbons like hexane and butane and propane, and any amount of that in toxic levels could do harm to your body. So that's the basic gist of it. I go into it in depth in the book in detail in terms of, you know, what specifically what you should be looking for. I provide examples of labels and laboratory test results. So you can take a look at all of that in the book.
That's great, because it is an area that can get really confusing and can be quite a landmine for people to get through. And I want to say that I've investigated this as well, because I think it's really important to find a high-quality product. And the one that I use is actually organic. It's, you know, licensed, third-party tested, grown on organic soil. It uses liposomal delivery. It's full spectrum. It's processed appropriately, as you said. You know, I think that's so important to really offer people something that's really high quality and that is proven to be clean, free of chemicals, pesticides, and processed in a way that is utilized by the body. It has high bioavailability. Those are all the things that are really critical to understand with anything, but especially with something like a CBD product. So let's talk about, you have, before I get to the recipes, because you have some intriguing recipes, which I think people would love to know about, but I just want us to talk a little bit about dosing. What have you found for dosing, and what have you found to be an optimal, percentage of the active ingredients in products?
Okay, so let's see. Dosing, first of all, varies highly from person to person, okay? And there are a couple of factors that come into play when figuring out the right, figuring out how to use essentially CBD oil. One is the strength of the CBD oil, right? On the market right now, you have strengths that vary and range from 250 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams in a 1 ounce bottle. Which is quite a range. Second thing is the dose itself, right? So, for instance, I've had two patients with insomnia, otherwise healthy, no other medical conditions, of similar body mass indices, and one patient needed 2.5 milligrams. They use the same product, and one patient needed 2.5 milligrams of that product to sleep better, whereas the other patient needed 50 milligrams to sleep better. And then the other thing, like I mentioned before, is frequency of use. right? Frequency of use varies from patient to patient. A lot of it has to do with how well what's the other word? Well, basically, how well you hold on to fast or how you don't hold on to fast. So those are the different components that come into play. And so it's really an individual thing when it comes to dosing.
And, you know, you just reminded me, that's an important point. Because it's a fat-soluble molecule, if you have compromised digestion and can't digest fats for whatever reason, you
yep.
may not be able to get the full benefit of your CBD product just because it's not being absorbed into the body effectively.
Yeah. So I've had patients who've had gastric bypass surgeries, and if they ingest the CBD oil or if they take like a chocolate or a gummy, you know, they're not absorbing it as well. And so instead they have to turn to other alternatives, other delivery methods, such as sublingual, you know, drops under the tongue, or inhaling it using a vaporizer. So your medical history plays a large role in that as well.
And I sometimes recommend people take a good digestive enzyme with high lipase so they can improve their absorption of fat-soluble substances. So you know, there are many ways to go. And there are many variations on a theme of how to use CBD. So you kind of talked a little bit about it just now. Let's talk a little bit more. What are the many delivery systems that CBD comes in, and which ones do you recommend, or do you think they all have a place depending on the condition, the frequency, the age, whatever?
Okay. So in terms of delivery methods, I already mentioned a couple. You have edibles, chocolates and gummies, sublinguals, which are drops under the tongue, inhalation, specifically vaporization. Then you also have topicals, and then you have rectal and vaginal formulations as well. So those are all the different varieties of delivery methods available. And like I said, medical history and what condition you're treating plays a large role. For instance, trying to treat your migraines with topicals, typically not effective. You really need to take it internally. Same with anxiety. But if you have, you know, just your calf hurts, then yeah, topicals alone will be effective for it. You don't have to take it internally. So that's, you know, sort of the big picture of how best delivery method works.
Yeah, it's good to know. So, you know, I always like to keep a topical with me and as well as an oral. So, you know, depending what the condition is, you know, you reach for the bottle that works. But you also have created many recipes. So why did you do that? Let's talk about the recipes and maybe share some of your favorite ways to use your recipes as a delivery vehicle for the CBDs.
Yeah, so basically, you know, one of the biggest problems that physicians have is compliance, right? You prescribe a medication and the patient is either not taking it or taking it as prescribed. So there's sort of this resistance to taking medications. I haven't had that problem with CBD because it's so versatile. You can mix it up with your food and take it that way. And so it's, you know, it's a medication that you can cater essentially to your taste. You know, so you're taking a medication, but it doesn't feel like you're taking a medication. And so there's all sorts of different ways to take it, especially, you know, cancer patients, for instance, you know, they get on chemotherapy and oftentimes things start to taste metallic in the mouth. So if you have something that's a little bit more appetizing, it can help with that. You know, oftentimes there are patients who can't take solids, so they need to take the medication in a liquid form. They can only take sips. So, you know, there's recipes for that as well. So why, you know, just giving people options, you know, meeting them halfway. Okay, you know, this medication doesn't taste good. All right, fine, let's figure out a way so that it's more appetizing to you. And so that's really what that is help, you know, catering to the patient and helping them to make the medication to their taste.
So I want us to talk about some of these possibilities for people to think about, because whether it's 4-1-Self or you just want another way to take your CBD, get, you know, you just want to explore, you maybe just get bored of taking it orally. But, I mean, you have some great recipes, whether you put CBDs in them or not. I mean, you have drinks you can take with them. I love your Mexican hot chocolate one. So what you're saying is you can take a dose of your CBD as a tincture, right? You're talking about tinctures to do this sort, and just put the amount you would normally take, put it in this case, you know, you have juices and you have coffees and you know, Golden Milk, and you have this lovely looking Mexican hot chocolate, which I have to say is it's a great drink. You just put it in, mix it in, and then enjoy your cup.
Exactly. Yeah, and especially like with the Golden Milk, you know, you have turmeric, which has anti-inflammatory properties, and so does the CBD oil. So you can imagine, you know, the combination of both of those can be very effective for someone who's dealing with inflammation.
Okay, so you have, I mean, you got some, did you make all these recipes up? Are you a cook?
No, I'm not. We had help from Sandra Hinchcliffe. She is she's a chef.
Oh, wow. Because the recipes are so interesting and the photography is beautiful. So you have, like, there's a recipe here of the apricot crumble pies. Now, is the CBD baked into, like, the apricot filling? Can it withstand heat, I guess is what I'm saying?
Yeah, it can withstand heat. Yeah, it should be fine. Basically, what happens is that if you have any acidic form of CBD, like CBDA, left in the CBD oil, it'll, when exposed to heat, it'll turn into into CBD, essentially. So yeah, it can withstand heat, but you can also add it, you know, after the fact as well.
Well, I think we need some CBD cafes, don't you think? And you have some skincare products here too, the CBD spa mask or a skin toner, Temple massage balm. That just looks like a lot of fun to be doing and playing with your CBD. I'd love to see more cafes open up with CBD products and drinks, and I'm sure they are happening as we speak.
I think so. In some states, they do allow for cafes like that. I know recently in New York City, though, they've shut them down. They did open up, but then they shut them down. So a lot of it depends on you know, local laws and whatnot.
Well, isn't CBD federally legalized now?
The cultivation of hemp is now federally legal. However, when it comes to CBD extracts, it's more in the gray area. Per the DEA, CBD is still a Class 1 substance. The only time that it's a Class 5 substance is if it's in an FDA-approved drug, which at this point is only at the DOX. So that, and also per the FDA, CBD cannot be sold as a dietary supplement. However, recently they made a statement saying that, you know, they do realize that recently the cultivation of hemp was legalized and that CBD oil products are popular, and they're going to try to accommodate to manufacturers of CBD products. They have sent out warning letters to companies, but these were companies that were making, you know, like I mentioned, claims that CBD oil cures cancer. That's what they don't want, is companies making unjustified health claims, essentially.
And rightly so, but it is still a bit of a schizophrenic area, the use of the CBDs. And you know, I think the important message that we really want to share with people is that CBD is non-psychoactive. It is essentially legal and really beneficial, and it's something that I personally would not be without in my little medicine cabinet that I keep all my special, you know, elixirs in. You know, in the minute or so we have left, Dr. Battelle, is there anything that you want to say that we didn't cover in our conversation?
We covered quite a bit. And, you know, your viewers or your, I'm sorry, your listeners can always go to my YouTube channel for further information. And if they just Google the CBD oil expert plus YouTube, I'm constantly posting answers to commonly asked questions there. I also answer questions live in my Facebook group, and they can get to that by going to facebook.com/groups/askthecbdexpert. So those are some resources that they have access to when they're looking for answers to questions.
Oh, that's great. And also they can go to your website, which is Dr. Rachna Patel, R-A-C-H-N-A-P-A-T-E-L, drrachnapatel.com, if they want to learn more about you and your services. So you are in a medical practice, and you are seeing patients now in Austin?
No, so I don't have a brick and mortar. I work online. So I do online consultations with folks who want to learn how to use either CBD oil or medical cannabis, and I help walk them through that.
Oh, that's great. And to do that, they can either go to Dr. Rachna Patel or the CBDExpert.info.
Yeah, that's where I sell my line of CBD oil, the CBDExpert.info. And then on my website, drrachnapatel.com, they'll be able to schedule an online consultation.
Fantastic. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and thank you for the wonderful information, research you have, and congratulations on your book, The CBD Oil Solution, Treat Chronic Pain, Anxiety, Insomnia, and More Without the High. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Rachna Patel.
Yeah, and thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. And to all of you listening, I'm sure you really enjoyed our conversation today. If you haven't tried a really good CBD product, I really encourage you to do so. It's something that could make a huge difference in your life. And until next time, as always, honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.